Hey, Jonathan Goodman here. I have super exciting news. My book, The Obvious Choice, that I've been talking about forever, is almost here. This is published by HarperCollins. The president of Shopify endorsed it. The editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine endorsed it. This thing is going to blow the roofs off, and I'm asking that you please pre-order your copy today on your local Amazon, wherever you buy books. It's available. It's called The Obvious Choice. Hope you pre-order it. Hope you love it. Nick, you are up, my friend. So, Nick, same thing, real quick. Who you are, who you serve, and what are we talking about? Which I think is going to be somewhat similar, but probably we'll attack it from a different angle.
Yeah. So I'm Nick. I help busy professionals lose 20, 25 pounds in 12 weeks. That's my tagline. Without giving up happy hour, carbs, those kinds of things. So it's really flexible dieting. It's helping people, once they get in the program, create a better relationship with food, better relationship with themselves, and then a byproduct and the scale too. Byproduct of that is of course weight loss and just more of the lifestyle approach. So that's who I help. I've been doing this for about 2.5 years online, 2 years full time now officially. And the biggest thing, like you said, and it's funny because even your intro like lined up exactly what I'm talking about, is yes, I could talk about leads, because that's such an easy conversation to talk about. And there's a lot of different directions on that, but more the it's more something now doing this for 2 years online. Like I've had a ton of success quick. And then now I'm just learning how to, lack of a better way to put it, create a better relationship with different seasons of it. Yeah. And I'm having I'm like an emotional roller coaster, whether it's a micro example is like a sales call that I think should have closed but didn't, and just it wraps me up. But a bigger thing and why this is even coming to the surface is this year, for some reason, even since January, it's been, I've had some good months and stuff, but it's like scratching. It just felt like it's been a lot more work than even like last summer, and there's a variety of reasons on that. But April was my worst month in 2 years, and it's just the mind warp of all of that is what I'm struggling with most. And so, yeah, we can talk about leads, but more than that, like
let's talk about recalibration. Let's talk about re-energizing a little bit, because we're not the same. I mean, I'm not a numbers guy, Jason, to be able to tell you. But my guess is that April was probably the worst month that we've had, in a very, very long time. And I mean, we're not the only ones that this is happening to. It doesn't make it any better. But there's something going on right now where it's just, there's so much fear and uncertainty. I remember when, I mean, this is a couple of years back, but I remember when COVID was really new, one of the things I said to our team was, there's only one time when people don't buy. People buy when they know they have money. People buy when they know they don't have money. The only time when people don't buy is if they don't know how much money they have. And where we're at right now is nobody has any idea what money is anymore, let alone how much they have or whether it's even worth anything. So let's talk about like recalibration, because I think that there's a lot of neat things that you can do here. And part of it is putting some more energy into what you're doing in ways that are like kind of fun. Part of it too is, can we bring back some creativity? Because the hardest thing about when sales are down or when there's sales calls that you think might close that don't, it's really easy to get down. And then that kind of just starts to spiral downwards a little bit. And when you can do things that are a little bit creative, you start to get your own juices flowing a little bit more and you start to have fun again. And that's what I have found is the best way to get myself out of any of these funks, which, like I said, they happen to everybody and they will happen again at some point in the future. And so, you know, playing with your topic, right? It's reasonably generalized. Like it kind of means something. It kind of doesn't mean that much. It can mean something different to a whole bunch of different people, which I think is fine. But the best way when you're doing any kind of content pieces or any kind of vision mapping for content and how you want to approach it strategically is to try to try to make something that 10 or even 5% of your audience are going to absolutely love. And everybody else, it won't really apply to. Like, maybe they'll be kind of interested in it, but it won't really apply to them. And so there are really fun ways for you to do that with your tagline. So tell me what it is again, just so everybody can get back on the same page.
Yeah, I help busy working professionals lose up to 25 pounds in 12 weeks without giving up carbs or happy hour.
Okay. Are there any where you live? What's the name of like a fancy restaurant that a lot of your people go to? Like basically just like, where do rich businessmen go to?
Yeah. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
Okay. And it's a local one. Yeah. I mean, we have Ruth's Chris too. So why not create a video specifically for Ruth's Chris? Will you look at their precise dietary, how much is in their steak, how much is in a drink, how much is in whatever? And you literally break down, you're like, here's how you can eat at Ruth's Chris twice a week and still lose whatever, a couple pounds. And what you're doing there is a few things. Number one is you're targeting people who are like, I go to Ruth's Chris. Like, you could say, how do you eat steak and drink beer and lose weight? Or you can say, how do you go to Ruth's Chris or even this specific Ruth's Chris and eat this meal and still lose whatever, 20 pounds or get shredded or whatever? Because then what you can do is then you can tag Ruth's Chris as well. And you can tag the local one in where you live, for example. And you bet your ass they're going to share it. And what you can even start to do, if you have any relationships with anybody at any of these places, is you could maybe even do collabs with some of these restaurants. That could be like your thing. Right? And so this is where the vision comes in really, really handy. And this is where saying, okay, with a piece of content, I'm not going to try to do too much. I'm going to try to attract 5%. You know, am I just looking at people who like to eat a hamburger from Five Guys? Like, you're not talking about how to eat hamburgers. You're like, a hamburger from this specific place or this exact beer from this craft microbrewery. And you just cycle those. You know what I'm saying? And you can just do it. It's like, there's this guy on Instagram. He's a TikToker, I think, actually. But he's also on Instagram because I don't have TikTok because I refuse to log into it. But his name is Papa Swolio. And he's got like a million followers. And literally every video, every single video is him just saying, go to the fucking gym. Look him up. Over and over and over again in different ways. He just says, go to the fucking gym. It's like, it's not that complicated. So could your thing be, Ashley Papa Swolio? I don't know. Papa Swolio, I think it's like that.
I've heard you talk about him in your podcast too.
I mean, it's so entertaining doing different languages. And like, it's super. He'll be like, hey, why'd the chicken cross the road? To go to the fucking gym, go to the fucking, like, it's just like, it's the stupidest, most ridiculous thing, but it shows you how simple this can be once you become kind of known for something. And so, you know, you could become like I always wonder whether there's an angle. It's like, I don't know exactly how you'd voice it, but hey, I'm the get shredded while eating at fancy restaurants for rich guys guy. And basically, I just tell you how to make sure you're shredded. I tell rich people how to make sure they're shredded when they eat at fancy restaurants. And that's just like your thing.
Yeah.
And there's consistency, right? You know exactly what you're doing. You know exactly how you're doing it. You know exactly how you script it. And then you're going to have these fancy restaurants reaching out to you, offering to pay you to feature them. And it's specific to you people.
Yeah.
That's what came to my mind the second that you started talking. I was like, oh, okay. I'm like writing down notes.
No, it's got my wheels turning. I'm just trying to think how I can message that. But I like, from a general standpoint, like you talked about, like getting creative and having fun with it. And kind of problem solving that way. But yeah, I mean, that is something that, not to go on a completely different tangent of niching, that's something that I felt like I haven't had to do like super closely, because I've just gotten a bunch of referrals and like it's very general. Right. And so even busy professionals, I mean, it's very general, right? So
and do busy professionals call themselves busy professionals?
Probably not.
Have you ever met a busy professional who was like, hi, nice to meet you, I am a busy professional?
right. Yeah. So I don't know if you have any ideas on like, yeah, I mean, cause like targeting the affluent, wealthy, like how
I
to
like,
say,
I like rich guy. I mean, yeah. It's like, there's this big movement on Twitter towards anonymous accounts. And they, Jaden, that's funny. There's this big movement towards anonymous accounts on Twitter where there's like car dealership guy, mortgage guy, and they're anonymous Twitter accounts, but they're building huge followings really quick. And I'm not saying that you should be an anonymous account, but this idea behind like, can you become the guy for that? I think is really appealing. Like, can you become the guy for rich guys getting shredded while eating rich guy food?
Right.
Like, I don't know. That's pretty cool. I'm the guy for rich guys. I'm the guy that helps rich guys get shredded while they eat rich guy food.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Would you? Yeah. I know, it's very direct, and I feel like some people, yeah.
Some people would be like, "Oh my god, I hate rich guys." You're like, "Cool, like that's fine. You don't need to be here. You can go to any of the other places on the internet, right. As long as you like that."
Right.
I mean, if you don't like it, then that's a whole different conversation. But as long as you like that, and as long as it's your people, I mean, the nice thing about something like that, of course, is that rich guys like to do rich guy things, like to meet rich guys. Rich guys like to brag that they're rich guys often.
And they like to brag that they have a coach that they pay. And
yeah.
They're rich guys too. Yeah.
And especially, I mean, I think Ruth's Chris is a great example of a restaurant, because it's, I mean, we have them too. It's like the spot where freaking, I don't know, account executives and investment advisors and stuff like that all go like after work for drinks together. Mm-hmm. And I imagine they have big social media. But I mean, you know, it's worth looking throughout your town too at which restaurants are not just like your target population, but also have social media presence. And just kind of creating a list and like starting there and working down.
Yeah.
Because once you get known for this, it's great. Once you create a flow for this, it's great. But it's going to take a little bit of time to get known for it and make a flow for it, obviously.
Right.
But you can see, I mean, whenever I think about any of this, I think about, this is going to be like the nerdiest sounding thing ever, but I think about network nodes. Like, what nodes are there on a network? And can you purposefully create your content so that it is appealing to very, very select nodes on that network? Can you work backwards? Like, can you design your, not try to create content and then try to push it to people? Can you actually design your content beforehand, knowing which network nodes, like the Ruth's Chris Instagram account, for example, knowing which node on that network you want to appeal to? I mean, how many people are going out there and creating content of how to eat at their restaurant twice a week and still hit their fitness goals.
Right.
If I was a social media manager for that company, I would be ecstatic. Hmm. And then you just message them once you post it and you say, hey, you know, not sure if you saw, like, message like their main account. I don't know. Let's look at this. Ruth's Chris, how many?
Yeah, I'm writing some of this stuff down. Yeah.
Ruth's Chris. I mean, they only have 99,000 followers. So they're not too present considering how big that company is, but they still have 99,000 followers. They've got decent enough engagement. You know, they got 800,000 likes. It's all steaks or whatever, but message them after you put it out. Just message their Instagram account and be like, hey, do you want this video to post on your thing? You want to do it as a collab? Like, I can take mine down. We can repost it. Do it as a collab. Basically going to this company and being like, I have created the perfect piece of promotional content for you. Mm-hmm. Here, it's done. Would you like it?
Yeah. No, I like it. And I'm going to start looking around because Ruth's Chris just came to my mind. But
do one on Ruth's Chris by the end of this week. I want to see it live.
Okay. Okay.
Don't even think. Don't start looking around. Don't.
Okay.
Just do one on Ruth's Chris before the end of this week.
Just like I'm thinking just put out a reel or something of explaining how to eat at Ruth's Chris and still.
Yeah. Look up how many calories and stuff like that are in, like,
yeah.
You could even call them, like, call Ruth's. Here's what you do. Call Ruth's Chris and you say, hey, I'd love to come there. I'm thinking of coming there with a couple guys next week. Can you tell me what your most popular steak is? Which is the steak that's ordered the most? Thank you so much. Hang up the phone. You say, I called Ruth's Chris. They told me that this was the most popular steak. Here's the breakdown. If you order potatoes, if you order the veggies, here's how many calories it has. Here's how you can eat Ruth's Chris most popular steak twice a week and still be shredded as a guy. Boom, 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 boom. Right? Mm-hmm.
Cool. I like it.
Cool. Mr. Ryan, you are up, my friend. So Ryan, same thing. Real quick, talk about who you are. Talk about how much time it takes you every day to work on your amazing mustache and what we're talking about today.
All right. Gotcha. Yeah. So first of all, most days it takes me zero time because a lot of times I just don't fix it. But as far as the business, I work primarily with parents, most of those being moms. And then as far as what I wanted to chat about today, I really had two topics in mind. One was actually something that I talked about with Jason Maxwell a couple of weeks ago. So this year has been just like an absolutely amazing year financially so far. So I've had three record months already this year. And then the 2 months that weren't record months were still better than any month that I had from, you know, last year going backwards.
Cool.
And so everything has just been awesome financially. But the weird thing that has happened is, instead of that, like, adding more motivation to, like, keep pushing past that, it's had this, like, weird opposite, like, rebound effect, mm-hmm. where instead of setting bigger and bigger goals, it's almost had this weird, like, oh, I just hope I can keep this up and, like, right. not want to go backwards.
Right. Yeah, your normal has moved.
Right.
And now there's fear that you've gotten used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else? I can tackle that one for sure.
Tackle that one till the cows come home. I do want to briefly touch on some content stuff next, but that's the main thing mm-hmm. I want to talk about.
I got some good ideas, you know, because your submission here with all the information you put in was more about content stuff. So mm-hmm. I've got a couple notes of stuff and quick hit ideas that I think will make a big difference for you that we can hit on really quick at the end. So, but more the philosophical stuff. So this is funny because when you've achieved stuff that you probably never thought in your wildest dreams you'd achieve, right. and you've gotten there, which is amazing. And you realize that two things happen. One is like, oh, is this it? I thought that everything was going to be perfect and there was going to be a happily ever after, because that's when the movie always ends, right? And then the second is that you realize that even though you've set a goal, the second that you hit there, the goalpost just moves.
Right.
And one of the keys is to get the goalpost to stop moving. Number one is to figure out what that point is for you. And you may not be there. But the second is just to get really good at savings. One of the reasons why I'm still in coaching and why I still work with coaches is because I think that coaching is one of, if not the best business model in the world. And I think that because it kicks off so much cash when done right up front. Most other business models might kick off cash in the back end or anything like that. When you have money up front and you invest it and you save it, you don't live beyond your means. You know, the problem is when people start making money, they start spending more money. Well, if you can resist that, you can set yourself up really, really well. So the first is more like figure out how you want to live and where that goalpost is. But the second is whether it might make sense to learn about some wealth management stuff. I mean, what's like, I don't have like a savings rate, but I took a lot of time a number of years ago, and I could recommend some books and things like that, to establish my own personal philosophy towards wealth generation and money. And there's no right or wrong. Is that something that you've ever looked into, or it's nothing we've ever spoken about, but is that anything that you've ever looked into or studied?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I'm not much of a spender, to be honest. If I ever do spend something, it's usually just on a coach or sure. on something for the business or something like that. So as like far as like wasting the money that I take in, that's not really an issue at all. I think one of the things that kind of has contributed to this is we're actually starting to build our house. Like I can actually see out the window, like oh, them cool. pushing around dirt for the groundwork out there. And yeah. I think that's one of the things that has kind of contributed to it, because up until now, like the house we're renting, my parents own it. And so they're not charging us a whole lot of rent. Right. And the house we lived in before this was like a super crappy house, because at that point in time, I wasn't making a lot of money. Yep. And so it's like, I've never had a lot of living expense. And now we're, you know, going to be building a house that's going to be like, you know, 750 grand sure. by the time it's all said and done.
Yep.
And I think just going from like, you know, less than $1,000 a month living expense to more. $750,000 house.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the contributing factor there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So this is where the freedom number comes in. It might make sense to do that equation again for right. sure, but you're way above that.
Right.
I mean, I can tell you right now, my mortgage is $1.4 million. Like that's what my mortgage is. And so my monthly payment on the house is a lot. And that contributes, right? That's just part of the conversation. But learning how to kind of tackle some of these thoughts and say, because a lot of it is like, you know that you're okay and you know you're going to be okay, but unless you really quantify what that is, it can kind of take you down. But I'll send you a couple of recommendations for books and things to read. And they're not like economic books. They're not books with calculations and things like that. It's more about let's build our philosophy towards how we think about money. For example, my philosophy is I'm okay not being as rich as I might otherwise be, right. but I'm not okay getting taken out of the game. And so I don't know what's going to happen. I think that there will probably be some major economic upheaval at some point in my life. because the wealth gap is just way too big at this point. And I'm scared of that. And whether it happens or not is kind of irrelevant. I don't want to live my life scared of that.
Hey, Jonathan Goodman, and I wanted to invite you to pre-order my next book called The Obvious Choice. This is my first traditionally published book. It's been published by HarperCollins. Sam Poe, if you listen to My First Million podcast, called it a much-needed recalibration for a business generation that's focused on the wrong thing at the wrong time. Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, said that if you want to win in business without feeling like you need to win the internet, you gotta get this book. So why pre-order it instead of getting it when it's ready? Well, there's two reasons, really. The first is that it's really, really beneficial for me, selfishly. It helps me a lot. My publishers love it. But the second beneficial for you is you actually lock in the best ever price. No joke, I pre-ordered a book that was $40 not too long ago. And because the price went down over the pre-order period for like a day to $29.99, when the book arrived to me on the day of the launch, I actually got refunded by Amazon $10. Because when you pre-order a book on Amazon, you lock in the lowest price ever. So if Amazon ever lowers the price, which they often do, you're gonna get that price and get refunded, whatever the difference is from when you pre-ordered it. So there's benefit to you, there's benefit to me. Please pre-order the book, The Obvious Choice, anywhere you buy books, but Amazon gives you this other benefit. Hope that you love it. Hope you're good.
Right.
And so what I've done is I'm not betting on any one thing. What I've done is I've accumulated slowly over time assets in a whole bunch of things that almost oppose one another, like some gold, some Bitcoin, some real estate, some conventional stocks, and then some cash, right? And none of it is an optimization process, but it's more just like, it's more just mental clarity than anything else.
Yeah.
And yes, Bob, I'll share the books in the group afterwards. I mean, The Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel is always my first recommendation. So I'll say that. But there's a few. Let me give you a couple really quick hit stuff on the content, because you do a really, really good job sharing client successes and sharing client testimonials on your Facebook page. There's two suggestions that I have. Is one, make your client the real all-star. Like, like you're celebrating them, but you're not really making them the all-star. You're talking about how great they've done and stuff like that. I would take that to a level 10 and say, oh my God, isn't Kim great? Look at this. Look, she overcame all of this stuff with two kids. And holy crap, look, there was a period a couple months back where a bunch of people got sick, and you know, it's hard for anybody, but because what you want then is you want a whole bunch of people going in there celebrating her. You're just the conduit. You don't matter. Don't say anything about, with my coaching, she did great. Nah, none of that. It is her. She is the all-star. She showed the strength that she showed, the resolve she showed. She did the work.
Right.
And that's what matters. The second is, it's all well and good for you to post something about how great she did. It's a whole different ballgame for her to post it.
Right.
So something that Mike Dola did, co-author on a book of mine, The Wealthy FitPost Guide to Getting Clients, something that he did with his company Stronger You, which for anybody who knows the story, I mean, it was just him. He worked at a bank, started training people on nutrition, and then within a matter of like, I don't even think it was 10 years, worked up to 80 coaches, sold it for enough money that he never has to work again. And it was all organic. Like it was never paid. One of the things that they did that was so brilliant was whenever somebody lost a bunch of weight or anything like that, he would give them a gift code to go shopping for new clothing. He didn't give them a gift code in exchange for a referral. When they were successful and they lost weight or they hit a goal, he'd buy them I mean, he had a relationship with them, or his coach at a certain point had a relationship with them, and knew which shops they loved. And would, I mean, there's like a couple hundred bucks, like what's it going to cost you to get a new client, right? like a couple hundred bucks. And he'd buy them a gift code to their favorite clothing stores to buy new clothes that fit. And he would also encourage them to donate their old clothes that no longer fit to charity. And he would, he would recommend for them to make a big deal out of it and take pictures and share pictures. And so instead of him saying, hey, can you send me a referral and I'll give you a gift card or whatever to like a coffee shop or a clothing store, he's like, hey, go buy yourself some new clothes. None of your stuff fits. And by the way, when you do it, take pictures and share them. Because then what's going to happen is now instead of you posting about how great Kim did, Kim's going to post pictures of her in the store buying new clothes because her old stuff doesn't fit. And everybody she knows is going to say, what have you been doing?
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
What? And then that happens again when they donate their... Happens again 2 weeks later once they get their new clothes, and then they take their old clothes and they donate them to a charity. They're taking photos of that again.
Real quick, if you could just share who you are, who you work with, and what you want to talk about today, and we'll get to it.
Yeah, so I work with busy, overwhelmed moms. I'm fairly new to OTM. I've been here since the January cohort. I think, honestly, I sound like a broken record, but it's mindset. And I recently quit my nursing job to take this full time. So I feel like I'm just in that like, oh shit, I have so much to do. I have so much time in my day now, and I'm not getting anything done because it's just overwhelmed.
So was that more existential kind of worry? Is it prioritization? I mean, I know you just went through a big transition, but...
Yeah, it's 100% unsupportive family members in my ear. The day I quit, was told I was a terrible parent, terrible mom. How could I do this? People don't make money online. This is a joke. Why did I leave my pension? Like horrible, horrible things from immediate family members. And I know I need to cut that off, but then there's like the guilt of I want my kids to be around their grandparents.
Yeah.
And they live 5 minutes away. We live in a very small town. So yeah, it's just a lot of now I feel like I have to prove myself. So it's added pressure.
Right.
And I feel like, and I'm okay usually. I mean, with my nursing career, I'm usually pretty good working under pressure. I've worked some crazy codes, crazy scenarios. But now I just feel like I need to, yeah, prove myself to everyone.
Prove yourself. What does proving yourself really mean then?
That I can do it, that I am a good coach, that I can get people results, that I can make money off of this, that staying in a career that wasn't fulfilling wasn't the answer to everything that I wanted in life, wasn't making me happy.
And almost because you are all of those things. It's just more a matter of recognizing it for yourself, I feel.
Yeah. I feel like I've put a number on it. Like, I won't be successful till I make 10K or until this amount of clients or... And I don't know how to just appreciate what I have built and what I have created.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they are right until I do get to that number. So then I'm just chasing that freaking number in my head, which is just a dollar sign.
They won't get it until one day they will. There's no number. There's no anything like that. My sister is a lawyer. She's my oldest. I have three older siblings. My sister is a lawyer. My brother is a teacher. And my other brother is a small business banker. My mom's a teacher. My dad's an engineer turned middle management logistics guy. And I do whatever the hell I do for a living.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't lie to you and say that they weren't supportive. They were. There was a lot of my own internal dialogue over the years of who am I? What am I doing? My sister wasn't just a lawyer. My sister was a hotshot lawyer. My sister was a non-equity partner at one of the biggest firms in downtown Toronto by the time she was 30.
Wow.
And I always looked up to that. She's 8 years older than me. So she was doing her going to the bar exam and articling and all of the things that lawyers do and, you know, getting this job and working all these hours and getting this great condo downtown and all this stuff that you're told that you should want.
Mm-hmm.
I was going through university, being a personal trainer, all that kind of stuff. And we didn't really speak, you know, 8 years is a big gap. So we're actually like, we live 5 minutes away from each other. We spend a lot of time together now. We're really, really close now. But we didn't really speak for those years. Not that we didn't want to, we were just different parts of our life. But I always looked up to her and thinking that that's what I needed to aspire to do. As a young Jewish boy, right, to a middle-class family, like, it's just, you're going to be a doctor or you're nothing, basically.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget the moment when my sister looked at me and she said, you know, you figured out some stuff. This was like 4 years ago. I started my website in 2011. I started Escaping Winters in 2013. Hmm. I've been self-sufficient. I've been putting money away into savings for over 10 years. And it wasn't that she didn't support me. It was that she's never verbalized it. Like, she felt it. And there was always respect in that. But I share that because I still remember where we were. I still remember that moment. And that's why I say they won't get it until one day they will. And it will seem like it kind of came out of nowhere. You're crushing it.
Thank you.
I mean, you and I don't know if anybody else knows, but we've got a basically an OTM like success, like OTM wins channel on Slack. And every day there's just floods of like people overcoming internal stuff or people making sales or whatever they're doing, right? Your success coach has posted in there and we don't share it. Well, actually, I think some of the stuff is shared anonymously on social media now, I think. But but we see it. And you're doing really, really well. I mean, you're easily in the top 1% of people in this industry.
Thank you.
But your family.
Does the internal dialogue get easier at all? Like, is there like any? Yeah, I know the internal dialogue's never going to go away.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'll talk from my own experience. I'll talk in first person because I can't say what you'll feel, but I could talk to you about what I felt as I've gone through this, which is, I never feel like I figured it out. I still don't feel like I figured it out. I have learned to view goals as what I call waypoints.
Mm.
And so a goal to me is not the stop of one journey in the beginning of another. Instead, it's a beacon that pulls me towards a waypoint in one continuous journey. And I'm constantly adjusting and readjusting. And I've learned, for better or for worse, that that's just kind of the way that it is. I don't know if I like that or not. But I've also learned to accept that I don't know what success is or means. I've spoken to people whose name you would know. You know, conventionally very, very successful people, well-known, popular people. I've spoken to a lot of spiritual leaders who counsel, entrepreneurs, top entrepreneurs. And they'll tell you the same types of things, which is, I mean, the analogy that I have, the waypoint beacon type analogy, it pulls you in that direction. It pulls you towards something, but you never feel like you get there. It's just one day and then the next day and then the next day. Again, for better or for worse. There's a section about this in the book that I actually just sent to copy editing yesterday. And it talks about this analogy, this waypoint analogy. And what I say is, I'm going to do everything in my power to make this book a success. And if it works, I'll be really happy. And then I'll start the next one. And if it doesn't work, I'll be sad. And then I'll start the next one.
Mm.
And even if it is a success, will I recognize that? Probably not.
Yeah.
Over the years, I've learned to just kind of laugh at it. But part of that, part of it is just for me, I think the biggest difference maker for me was understanding wealth and money and building that philosophy.
Yeah.
Because to me, that was freedom. You know, I knew that the people that I would love, that I loved, I knew that they kind of got it before they said that they got it, what I was doing. Some of them never have, right? I still get messages from crazy aunts talking about how I shouldn't go to Mexico because Mexico is dangerous. But at the same time, I know that myself and the people who I am taxed with taking care of, my family and our extended family that we care for, right? I know that we're in good shape because I've got a good handle on that. And so that was the biggest difference maker for me, was what amount of money do I want to be putting away every month? How can I invest this, not like a degenerate, but like invest this and know that over time, this is going to be a nest egg that's going to protect me, because then you can continue to really do your thing. And it doesn't, I mean, you know, is 10K going to make you happy? Yeah, probably today, but once you get there, it won't.
Yeah.
I mean, then you're going to say any 20K, then 50, then 100, yeah, then whatever. And so that line is always going to move. Yeah, actually, my parents always ask me when I'm getting a real job. Is that what this is?
I think the biggest thing, too, that I'm hearing is, like, you can't try to convince them. Like, and it's just, it's a waste of my energy trying to convince otherwise.
Yeah.
Takes away from the business. So
I don't think you could try to convince them. And I think what you could do, I mean, God, I just wrote something about this with fitness and it applies. Hey, look at that. You can't, it's the same thing. You can lead by example and live it. A healthy lifestyle, but you can't preach health onto people. It doesn't work that way.
That's what
you
good.
What you can do is you can lead a healthy lifestyle. You can lead by example. And you can make sure that if ever anybody wants to know anything or join you in any part of it, they're welcome.
Yeah.
And you can always make sure they know that. But you can't really preach it on them. And what's been interesting is that over the years, some really good friends that I've grown up with have come to me for, advice. They've just like joined me along the journey in various ways, some in bigger capacity, some in smaller ones. And other ones, I mean, my closest friend in the world, his name is also John, basically my only friend, known him since I was 8. He's like married to an accountant. He's a building engineer. They've got 2 kids. They've got a white picket fence house. I mean, everything conventional that would make me so miserable. But they love it and they're so happy. Yeah. And everything that I do would make them miserable. And we love the hell out of each other. And we love sharing about what we're doing to one another. And so there's some people that are going to view what you're doing. And over the years, as they see how contented you are and how much it fills you up, are going to know that it's not for them, but they're going to be really happy for you for it at the same time.
Super helpful. I could listen to you all day, and I can't wait for your book. It's just helpful knowing, you know, you're not alone, right? We all have, you know, the doubters. I mean,
put up your hand if you've ever felt this way.
Oh, I love this group because I'm like, is there something wrong with me? Like, oh my God.
Yeah, there you go. Shane, your triceps are looking good, man. Jesus. Yeah, you threw up your arms. All that I could see was just tricep just popping out the side.
That's my win for the day. Thanks, John. Go. I'm good. I was gonna come in here and need some support as well, but I'm sweet now.
You're good. Look, Meg, you got a family here. I mean, part of what we have tried to build with OTM, and I hope that we've done it, and we're going to continue to try to build it more and more. And we do really want to bring in, for anybody who wants to come, live events and get-togethers, and less teaching, more just like family getting together with OTM, because I think it's very common for people like us to not feel like they belong. Even in the fitness industry, I never felt like I belonged. And, you know, working in the fitness industry, you don't understand why people who don't work in the fitness industry aren't taking better care of themselves, right? And then you work in the fitness industry and you're like, why aren't trainers taking better care of themselves? And so, you know, this online trainer mentorship, yes, there's information. Yes, there's support from coaches. Yes, you're building your business. But really, like, if you were to ask me what it is, it's a place for people like us, the weirdos, to meet and get to know one another. And even if you decide not to continue, or any of you decide not to continue in OTM at any point, like, stay in touch with these people. Because it's the most valuable aspect of what we're doing here by far. So, Casey, what did you ask me? Do I feel like I'm successful? I do. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we all probably view you as like where we would like to be. So I was curious if you feel kind of what we're asking about in a sense. I'm sure you've been through this for, you know, 10, 12, whatever amount of years you've been doing it. So it probably the voice gets a little quieter every year, but
it gets quieter, curious. But it changes and molds. I had a very interesting conversation with Allison last week. We were on like a 2-day just like get away from the kids, and beautiful. Like, we're in Mexico and we just like, we took a boat to an area that you can only get to via boat. And we were just, you know, us and at this like gorgeous place. And it was great. And I said to her, I admitted something to her that I'm embarrassed to admit, which is I hate myself for feeling this way, but I feel like I deserve more public recognition for the way that I have decided and the way that I live my life. The decisions that I've made, recognizing, you know, going so far, like traveling the world to meet people, forging friendships with an incredible Hindu priest who's guided me on a lot of this stuff, of really, I think, recognizing when enough is and keeping all of these things anyway, right? And then I look at, you know, these very young men or older men who have no families that are getting a lot of recognition online, in particularly the business world or whatever. And objectively, I think anybody who's like lived a long life would look at them and just say, yeah, but they're missing something. And I feel like I deserve like more recognition. And I hate that about myself. And I said that to Allison. And what she said to me was that she's like, yeah, but you don't actually want it. Just because it would change how you act. And it would make you change your decisions of how you act. And I thought about that, and she's 100% right. Building a brand around living a good life would fundamentally change how you live your life. It would have to. Like, we were in this beautiful place, her and I, and we didn't take a single picture. I would have felt like I needed to broadcast that. which would have changed our experience of it, which would have changed our mindset and our approach and how we were thinking and how I was thinking every day. I don't walk around every day thinking about content, but I would need to. So yes, I feel like I'm successful, Casey. Thank you. I do. But I also compare myself to other people who I admire oftentimes. And I might admire one piece of what they're doing, but I feel like a part of me kind of deserves that. And I hate that about myself. And that's something that I still work through. So I guess my answer is yes and no.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was hoping and thinking you would say, because hearing Megan say about the 10K, like as soon as I hit 10K, it's when's 20, 25, when's 30, when's 40, when am I, you know, that next step never, it's tough. We got to battle it. I think it's the entrepreneurial mindset and high achiever mindset as well.
It's funny, man. I put a post up when I hit, 200,000 followers on Instagram. I put a post up and I was like, I finally hit 200,000 followers on Instagram. I used to think that that would make me happy, but now I'm sure that when I hit 300,000 followers, I'll be happy. it's a moving needle. You got to just kind of laugh at it, I think. Well, Megan, thank you for sharing that. That was
I appreciate you guys. Yep. This community is the best. So
same.